Yo, what's going on, everybody, man? It's your boy, True. Oh, that's right. That is it. It's just your boy, True. There is no Tim this episode. How did we get to this predicament? How did we get here? Let's break it down. So first off, this isn't my first time doing a solo episode. There's a slight history behind that, so I'll jump into that and break that down first. Before Jones Hall Podcast got started, hold on, there might be a slight echo. I'm trying to combat that. Before Jones Hall Podcast got started, I actually started recording podcast episodes myself. I did some solo episodes. I did them at home, at an office, a couple of places. I recorded them, got with the wife, came up with some names for them and everything. Couple of names. The first one was Sex and Pancakes. Sex and Pancakes is something that refers to my wife and I. If you're smart, it's simple to put two and two together. And I actually posted that because a few people commented on it, saying that they were going to listen and they thought the name was interesting. They had this particular Instagram artist who came up with these images, and I got one of the images and added the title to it and put it all together. And it actually looked pretty good. I even reached out to the artist to make sure that there wasn't any issues with me using his particular artwork and stuff like that. And then we came up with a second name, my wife and I, and it was actually called Whiskey and Wine. And she said, you know, your theme should be tasting different whiskeys every episode, then kind of commenting on it. And of course, you can have wine there for, you know, different guests, female guests, or just whoever, because not everybody drinks whiskey. Recorded a few episodes. My wife checked it out, and she said she just felt that I wasn't ready, or it just didn't hit like it could with me by myself. And she said that I should be on the lookout to have someone else to do the episodes or the show or do the podcast with overall. So as I stated before, I reached out to Tim multiple times before this podcast even got started. Tim was not interested at all. And lo and behold, after a while of wearing him down, he became interested, and you have Jones Hall Podcast. Season 2, we're almost about to start Season 3, which will start our third year of this podcast. But yeah, so just between scheduling and time, Tim and I weren't able to record together before the episode that had to drop. So if you're listening to it on the Sunday or the Monday release, it is releasing today. So I had a few people lined up, and life be lifin', so things came up where those people weren't available, which is fine. Totally understandable. We knew that it would possibly get to this, and when I say new, Tim and I, Tim has been very supportive of me doing a solo episode. I think he's been wanting to do it. He's wanting me to do it. He's been very interested in seeing if I could do it and how it would go, so here we are with the solo episode. But we had a couple of other episodes that Tim did suggest with guests that would have probably went better with just me. So I still plan on recording those, and then Tim and I will decide on if we will release them, how we will release them, things of that nature. If not, we'll try to put them out there as bonus content and things of that nature for y'all to check out and listen to. First and foremost, as always, thank you for listening. We don't take it lightly when anyone takes time out of their day to listen. There are literally hundreds of thousands of podcasts, so the fact that you choose us, we're very appreciative. The fact that you guys comment and reach out to us, we're very appreciative. We don't take that lightly. Hopefully that there is some type of substance that comes from this podcast in which you are able to, you know, I always said I wanted people to think and or feel something. That was always my thought process with a podcast. And what I meant by that is, you know, either change thought or just make you double down on what you think and feel. One of the guys that listened to episode 19, shout out to Colton, I've actually posted him. He loves that episode. He now calls me the morale police because of Tim. He reconsidered his thoughts on the Cam Newton situation because of the way Tim and I talked about it and the points and stuff that we brought up. For me, feel something means positive or negative. We've had people that have reached out that have had negative thoughts, comments, or feelings, and people that have had positive, and we appreciate both. For me, that is always a good thing when you just feel something, because we all know what it is to be numb to something. We all know what it is for something just to not matter to us, for us not to care and just don't care about it, or it doesn't matter to us at all. So the fact that there are feelings that arise from this podcast is very positive, a positive outlook. So I have topics, but I guess we'll just flow with it and see. One of the things that as of late, I've been just very busy with work. Throughout this year, I have probably worked 90% of the year. Since January 8th, I've worked all the way until April 12th. So I've been working like crazy. I have a little bit of off time, and then after that, it's probably back to work on rotation. We'll have to see how things go, because as you know, I work in Israel, and there's a lot going on in Israel right now. So we'll end up seeing how things go and how that all comes together. So before I left for my last trip to go to Israel, I was in line at the grocery store, and I saw a special time edition called The Science of Marriage. When I saw it, I was immediately intrigued. I picked it up, actual physical paper magazine, and grabbed it and took it with me. It was very interesting in the sense that I would read it. So when I'm in Israel, I'm very selective about things that I do, things that I look up. We all sit in this big public room, so everybody can see everything you do on the computer. They see everything you pull out, read and stuff. And they always comment, always comment. So, of course, I'm reading this Time edition, The Science of Marriage, and I'm getting asked hundreds of questions about marriage, how to stay married, tips on marriage, stuff like that. While I was out there this past trip, I had to do premarital counseling. So one session, we had to do two sessions. It was five sessions total. We did three before I left. My wife and I do it together throughout church. And there was two sessions left that we had to do. So one session, I had to wake up at 2:30 a.m. to do it. And then the last session, I had to wake up at 11:30 a.m. to do it. The couple actually got married on 4/20. So congratulations to them. They did send us an invite, my wife and I, but unfortunately we weren't able to make it. But, you know, it's just very interesting because we all have something that we're known for. We all have something that people tie to us. For me, it's usually marriage, because my wife is a marriage counselor amongst many, many other things. And I assist her in premarital counseling and stuff like that. So all that to say, there's an excerpt out of this book that I thought was really good. And I was going to start the show off reading it, but I'll see. I might do a Dave Chappelle Dreamer ending. If you saw the Dave Chappelle Dreamer on Netflix, you know what I'm talking about. And just read that at the end. But I don't know. I kind of want to, because one of the foundations that this podcast was built off is marriage and relationships. We have a lot of married people that are fans of our podcast, and we greatly appreciate that. And a lot of single people as well, which is also greatly appreciated. I think in the end, we all, even if you're married or single, whatever it may be, for whatever reason, connection is something that is key amongst us all, and that just brings us all together. I know that's a hard transition in a sense, but I don't know. It just hit my mind pretty hard when it comes down to connection, because one of the things that come across a lot with a lot of people is number one, people having to get out of their own way. That is something that is huge in the sense that a lot of people's behaviors are toxic, whether you are in a relationship or not. Fun fact, one of the people that I was supposed to record with, and this is, I'm laughing because, shout out to Stu. Stu was one of the people, it's going to be just me and him. But Stu was a very interesting podcast episode, and a lot of people kind of felt interesting in the ways of Stu. And I'll probably still give y'all that episode Just had to work a few things out. The night we were supposed to record, he had to do something with his son. Something came up with his son. So fatherly duties took a front seat to what we had to do. But so look, let's start off with the definition of connection. A relationship in which a person, thing, or idea is linked or associated to something else. That's very bland. It didn't do as much as I thought it would do. But anyway, look. As human beings, there's always some type of connection that we're looking for, some type of way to connect with each other, some type of ways for people to connect with us, whether you're in that relationship. For example, my wife and I, if time elapses after a long time before we're able to be intimate with each other, we say that, you know, it's been a while. We need to reconnect. That's like our way of saying that, because sex, intimacy, however you want to call it, is a way for you to physically and emotionally connect with your partner on a deeper level. You know, I think a lot of people, Beyonce once said a long time ago in an interview, that if she's ever being real stressed out or going through a lot, one thing that she would do is to make love to her husband in order to kind of get back to that grounded point. And I think that was profound whenever she said that, because if you're married, you know the importance of having a significant other and being able to have them have your back, being able to have them be there for you, being able to connect with them, reconnect, and also be vulnerable. I think that's key and important as well, is having that person to be vulnerable with. And in a form of connection, some of us are looking for vulnerability, of being able to have someone that we can truly be ourselves with. That is very rare these days in the world that we live in. I mean, if you were to ask yourself how many people you can truly be yourself with, for many people, it would be just something that you can count on one hand, two hands max, and really be yourself. Because there's a lot of people that say or think that they're being theirself around someone, but they don't notice that they are making some type of shift or change in order to appease or please that person. It may not be intentional, but it's just something that happens. And the reason why I'm saying this, because a lot of people always say the whole, I don't need anybody, and, you know, I don't have any friends and stuff like that. Like, that sucks. Like, that really sucks. Not having friends or not needing anybody or wanting to be around anybody, it sucks. Like, it's a life that I would suggest not to live. And I'm not advocating anything outside of, you know, anything dark or anything like that. But step out on the branch of faith and trust. And if you don't have a special connection with someone, definitely try to look into that. I mean, I think that a lot of people take for granted finding true, genuine people. And it's hard. It's not easy. It's not something that happens overnight. It's not something that, I mean, a lot of us probably have had bad experiences after trying to step out and have connections with people and stuff like that, and things that went south, which is hard, because people, and it just goes back to what it said about being able to be honest. People aren't really honest, or people aren't really being genuine themselves around others, which causes you, or not just you in general, but other people to make bad judgment calls around them. It happens. It's okay. That isn't a reason to give up. That isn't a reason to stop. I mean, it definitely calls error for caution, to be more considerate, to think more whenever it comes down to, you know, trying to connect with people and find things. But look, just trying to help anybody out that is suffering with that. And I'm just going off of stuff that I've experiences from just talking to various people during the hiatus of me being at work and being gone. Just something that I wanted to speak on. Definitely grow your connection with your significant other. I think that the worst thing in the world is to be married to someone or be with someone and not able to be yourself. And I talked about this with Stu and Tim in that episode. Provide a safe space for others. provide a safe space. And for others in the general connection, whether you're just looking for a friendship or anything like that, but with your significant other, provide a space to where they can feel comfortable with telling you how they really feel, like how they truly, really feel, and be able to not receive any judgment about it, be able to not be looked at differently, but being able to be seen and be heard. That's one of the key things whenever you're looking for a significant other, when you're getting married, when you're having a spouse. Having that one person that you can truly be open with, that you can truly be yourself, that provides a safe space is so key and so important. That is something that I strive for daily in my marriage. Asking my wife multiple questions over, asking my wife questions maybe differently. Response is so important and key. Being able, because people will grow into comfort with you. So how you respond will tell them how far they can go with you, how deep they can get with you, how open they can be with you. But be genuine with your response. I'm not saying fake the funk in order for you to be able to, you know, provide this unreal safe space, you know. But I noticed that being able to respond properly in a way that makes my wife comfortable helps to grow. We've been married for 7+ years, and I think that there's so much growth and development and still things that we have to and need to tap into. When I was going, there was a lot of key questions that I asked my wife in order to get her opinion about things, see how she felt about things. Number one, to make sure that, or hope that she would be able to be honest with me and to be able to grow and be a better person. I think a lot of people have egos. A lot of people feel some type of way whenever people tell them about themselves, whenever people tell them how they are, whenever people comment or criticize them. A lot of people don't have that mindset of growth and development, first of all, with themselves and within relationships or connections with people, which is definitely detrimental and definitely something that can cause a lot of issues, definitely a lot of issues. So definitely be open, but definitely provide a safe space, man. I talked about that. We talked about it a little bit before. And then at the time, it was a conversation about intimacy, of just making sure that you're able to provide something in a safe space with intimacy with your significant other. So if there is interest outside of the norm, possibly, that they're able to just talk to you about it and just be open about it. People change, man. Check in all the time, whether you're checking in with friends, parents, relationships, marriage. Change happens daily. We are people who are changing and evolving in a world that is changing faster than we can imagine. Always check in. Don't be afraid to ask questions that you've asked before. Getting updates on friends, getting updates on favorite food, favorite color, stuff like that, favorite shoes. Because I'm in the sneakers, so I said favorite shoes. But that changes. All of that changes. And I think it's important that we show interest in those things. And not just show interest, but it's important that we get updates on those things because it changes so much and so often. And just being caught up to speed with our significant other, with our friends is important. It definitely is an important thing. Man, I remember a few things that I've just found out as of recently that have changed as far as just in my marriage and relationship wise and stuff like that. I try to check in with my friends. If you listen to this podcast, you know how big myself and Mr. Robinson Tim is with friendships. We both strive and take it real personal to be good friends. So trying to be more considerate for myself as well. that is something that I'm laughing because people say that I am a high maintenance friend. But I'm trying to, I give a lot, so I expect a lot. But I'm trying to change that. I'm trying to make adjustments to that, trying to be better, trying to be more considerate in ways that I wasn't or haven't been before. A lot has changed in my life that has kind of contributed towards that. And there's a lot that will change coming up. So I recorded this episode the day of because I wanted it to be fresh. I wanted to acquire as much information, as much thought, everything in order to give a good quality perspective and just update on everything. We usually record earlier, and then after that, we put the episodes out, you know, on our bi-weekly schedule. But this one is first. This is going to be recorded, and I'm going home after and upload immediately. But all that to say, received some news with a family member, with my wife, very important, prominent family member, which will change a lot in life and marriage these next couple of months. You know, one thing my wife said a long time ago was that, as you know, she does marriage counseling. She said it's harder for a couple to cope with a family member passing than it is for a couple to cope with someone cheating. Excuse me, I had to take a look. Excuse me, I had to take a sip of water. But I just wanted to let that sit. Because I remember hearing that, and I was like, really? I don't know about that one. Obviously, she's the expert. And that's not just words. That is a legal fact. She is considered an expert by the standards. A family member is sick, but they're doing well. They're doing better. But it's an older family member, so there will be a challenge on the road to recovery. And it has definitely, it's on my wife's side of the family, so it's definitely taking a toll on her. And a drastic toll. But so when all this happened, I was gone. I was in Israel. Excuse me. I was in Israel. So I can kind of tell. I guess I have to give some backstory. We got time. Y'all got time, man. All right. So my wife and I, whenever we're going, we don't verbally talk all the time. We text, but I can go, I will go, if I'm in Israel or if she's in Miami, more so in Israel, we might go days without verbally talking to each other. We'll text, and we have an app that we call Marco Polo, and we'll use that. But we don't use that all the time, but we'll go days without talking to each other. It just is what it is. It isn't a conscious thing. It isn't an intentional thing. We're just both very busy. And I'll say this, I guess a little side note before I jump back. For a person overall, not just a woman, I mean, definitely my wife has more titles, more degrees. She's definitely the more busier person. If you are going to be with someone who is busy, who's achieving these phenomenal life goals and is very focused on their craft at being amazing and being the best and growing in it, it takes a lot of sacrifice for that other person in order to be that other person in the relationship. And what I mean by that is, whenever my wife was studying for a PhD years ago, she rented a hotel room before she had to take the test, one of her tests, to just be by herself so she can study, so that she can really focus and hone in. We were living together. We were a couple. We were living together. But she just needed to be able to focus on studying. And I think I talked to her. We text. We definitely didn't verbally talk. It was like in the morning, you know, you woke up. Hey, I'm alive. Cool. And in the afternoon, like, hey, made it through the day. About to eat something and go to sleep. Like, that was it. I'm talking about for someone who I've been in a relationship with years, who I'm living in the house with. That's just how focused she was on studying and getting stuff done. I know for a lot of people, you know, they can't do that. They like, yo, that's crazy. Because I've told this story to people before. But my wife and I, you know, she's definitely very driven, has a lot going on career-wise, and she's not even close to where she wants to be or where she's going. Same thing with me. I mean, if you follow me, I do the podcast, I do video production, I write stuff. List goes on and on and on. So we're both very busy in the sense that now when I'm in Israel, there is an 8-hour difference. So for example, if it's 12 noon, it's 8 p.m. for me. So I can call my wife, but I know she's working. So I won't get to talk to her long if she's able to even talk. So in order for me to talk to her, I would probably have to call at 4 a.m., which is 8 p.m., and talk to her for a little bit before work or whatever, whatever. So, excuse me. So, this is just a little, I guess, mini rant, or maybe not a rant, but I see a lot of people that want these boss people, these people that's doing this and doing that. I've seen a lot of women and men on social media who say they struggle with relationships and finding someone. Because everybody says they want this particular person until it's time to live their life. Everybody says they want an independent person who's doing well financially and working hard and doing this. And I watch a show called Cheaters. You all have probably heard of the show. And one of the things that happens all the time on Cheaters is whenever a person is like, they catch them cheating and then, you know, they pull up with the cameras and they're like, excuse me, I can't believe you did this to me and us. And, you know, and the first thing that person says, well, you were never there. You were always working. Goes back to connection. A lot of people can't cope without being around someone. I had a very close friend, work construction, be gone a lot. And his marriage didn't last because he wasn't physically there. And the significant other person just wasn't able to cope with that very well and cheated. So a lot of people take for granted, my wife and I've had a lot of people that's been like, oh my God, you know, I love to have a marriage or relationship like you two. Yeah, because you see us together, happy, smiling, which it's all genuine. I definitely a lot of smiles, a lot of happy moments. But this isn't an everyday, day-to-day thing, because there's a lot of times we're not around each other. We're not able to be around each other because of work and that nature. So the situation that is currently going on with my wife's family member, while I was gone, I was able to just pick up on it. I was able to pick up on it with my wife. You know, we don't talk much. When you don't talk much, you're still able to, if you're a very attentive person, you're able to pick up on cues from that significant other. And I was picking up on cues that this was very hard for my wife a lot. I mean, phrase that life can change in an instance is so true. Cause before I left, things was great and peachy. And, now I'm back. Things are well, things are fine. It's just, there's an acknowledgement that challenges are ahead. I picked up on, like I say, what was going on with my wife and stuff. And, you know, so I was gone for 30 days. I left on March 12th. I came back April 12th. I came back April 12th at like 10 p.m. My wife left April 13th. I'm sorry. My wife left April 13th the following day at like 10 a.m. So 12 hours. I was sick. I was fighting the flu. My wife didn't want to get sick because she's going to see this particular sick family member. Didn't want to carry anything back. 100% understand. So we didn't even physically sleep together. I slept in a separate room. So I see my wife. She picks me up from the airport. Have a mask on. I'm not able to hug her. I can hug her, but we didn't kiss or anything like that. Nothing extra. Shower, go in our separate rooms, wake up the next day, you know, got to be at the airport for early in the morning. So I take her away. So I only saw her, like physically saw her for about 6 hours. And then she's gone for a week. Yeah. I'm laughing because it's just crazy. Because a lot of people ask me, like, yo, what's the first thing you're going to do? What are you and your wife going to do and stuff? I'm like, dog, she's about to be gone. Like, what she talking about? Like, you haven't even been back. And I said, I know. Like, there's just other obligations and stuff that have to take place. And I'm very supportive throughout this time, throughout what's going on. You know, I had friends or people that I know that was like, dang, I don't know if I could do that. Like, you know, I need to do something, this and that, or whatever. I said, dog, I mean, I understand it. Like, it's, you know, I come back. There wasn't time for us to really spend any time together. I'm kind of sick. So, you know, I understand her being like, yo, I don't want to bring anything back. So sleeping in separate, I think we sleep in separate rooms. Cool. Not a problem. You know, bring her and she's gone and I don't see her. Now, she came back at the time of this recording yesterday. So we have been able to spend time together, which has been great and amazing. Although I am away here in the studio doing this podcast. But I love my wife, man. Definitely love her. So back to the original question, because I don't want to stray far away from it, although all that was important. I understand now what she means by the loss. No one has passed away, but the family member is older. They are sick. My wife told me that she told me her thoughts, her feelings, being very open, which I'm very appreciative of, man. Very appreciative of. Do not take for granted when people are open with you and when people tell you how they feel. Trust me, not everybody does it. Not everybody receives it. Not everybody gets it. A lot of marriages, a lot of friendships, a lot of relationships fall by the wayside for that. It is a gift when someone is able to be honest with you, be open with you, talk to you about how they feel, talk to you about their thoughts. Everything is growth, man. Everything is growth. If you're in a marriage or in any relationship or friendship and you think that it is maxed out, you are in trouble, my friend. You are definitely headed down the path of destruction. Excuse me. I challenge anyone that's listening to this podcast to definitely check in with your significant other in a way that is loving, kind, and to try to continue to grow that relationship. There's a lot that my marriage has grown since conception to now, and it's 7+ years, and they have so much to go. And it sounds crazy to people because obviously my wife is a marriage expert. I also partake and participate in marriage activities and events. So you would think, or people would think that, you know, we are there, we arrived. But nah, there's definitely more growth and development there that is to be had, that I'm excited about, that she's excited about, and that we're both aware of. And I think that is key and important because a lot of people, there are some familiarities and there is some complacency that kicks in for a lot of people, and that causes a lot of issues, a lot of problems. And a lot of that is just not checking in, with the person, getting updates, knowing what's happening, knowing what's going on. And that all stems from comfort, from that person being comfortable to be able to tell you the truth. Comfort of being able to be comfortable to really tell you how they feel. Comfort of being able to be comfortable about really opening up to you and not being judged, not being looked at differently. Now, there's some things like being looked at differently I get in. I'm not saying that there's this overall umbrella of just say any and everything. But I think that there is an understanding that, you know, outside of anything egregious, being able to have someone open up to you and be honest is not only key and paramount, but something that we all long for, that we all yearn for. Yeah, so back to the original topic or the original statement at hand. So the thing with let me pull it together. So with the statement being said that it's harder for a couple to deal with death than it is for a couple to deal with cheating. First and foremost, with cheating, there is a clear indication of what's wrong. There's a clear problem on the table, problem at hand. So with that, you start off with two paths. We're going to work through this or it's over. Simple. And when it's over, boom, done. We're going to work through this. Okay. So working through this, and if you hear the laugh in my voice, I'm going to just let it out. I'm laughing because there's a friend, and I'll get into the situation too. So working through this means that the person who has done the cheating has to listen to the person whom they have cheated on and see what are these requirements and or stipulations to get back to a place of peace, as I say. Peace is, I think, what we all yearn for in a relationship. Peace goes so far and is such appreciated. So what is it for us to be able to get back to peace, being able to get back to our Zen mode, our place of comfort? Okay. So, and I guess we're going to just give a lesson about this, the cheating and coming back part. So I'll throw in my friend's situation at the moment. They, I had a friend who was, I'll just say people overall in general, because this isn't just all on one friend. Caught in a situation where the significant other was not happy about it. So they're at the place of working through it. It wasn't cheating, for the record, so for anybody. But it was cheating is used loosely, because cheating isn't something that isn't necessarily a physical sexual thing. But in different relationships, they have different definitions of what is cheating. So something was done in which the other person, significant other, felt some type of way about it. I'll just keep it very general in that nature. So, you know, they're going through it as far as the, it wasn't anything really bad. So separating wasn't on the table. So it was just, let's work through this, get back to where we need to go. So during the working through process, it is very challenging for this person to get through the requirements to get to a place of Zen, get back to normal. And I'm telling them, look, you caused this. You, unfortunately, the ball is out of your hands. You need to do what is done. You can't get mad at this person for how long it's going to take. You can't tell someone how they feel, how they're supposed to feel. So you can't be mad at how long it's going to take or the actions that come with them trying to feel comfortable again in order for y'all to get back to a good place, a happy space. And that is, you know, that lesson for everyone, because I know a lot of people that have cheated or gotten a situation, and in their mind, they feel like the other person, the spouse, is doing the most. And like, dog, you are not the judge to say what is and or isn't of doing the most. They have the right to act and react how they want and feel. You can't govern them, and you can't govern how long this takes, because this is a long process. You just got to sit in it. It sucks, but you got to sit in it. So for anyone that is going through any type of rekindlement and having issues, you just got to sit in it. It is what it is. Sit in it. yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Whatever it is, to get done and to be able to get back to that space. Now, you should communicate throughout the process too, getting updates of how they feel, what they think. You know, is there any progress, stuff like that? Because that's important. That's important in order to, because you have to see somewhat, is there any progress or is this going anywhere? But look, if you messed up, you just got to sit in it, unless you plan on just leaving. But it just is what it is. Like, it sucks, but it is what it is. So like I said, with the cheating, you decide on breakup, stay together, going through the process of rekindling, getting back together. Now, the thing about this process is that it isn't guaranteed to lead to you two being back together. Someone can say, hey, let's try to work through this. You know what I'm saying? I love you. I care about you. You know, I think that we can possibly work through this. So let's see what we can do. So let's say months pass and it just gets to the point where they're like, look, I just can't do this anymore. Like, I tried. It's been eating away at me. I thought I could, but I just can't. Like, I just can't. after what you've done is just so egregious to me. I just cannot stay with you. Like, I just cannot go through with this, cannot continue with the relationship. It is what it is. The fact that they made an attempt is noble. You made an attempt as well. You've done all you can, but we as humans have the right to, number one, change our mind, but be able to make an attempt at something in which, if you know the definition of making an attempt, means you're trying, and either it's going to end in a positive outcome or negative. And it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? If it doesn't work out, it doesn't. If you are able to get back to that space, getting back to that space of happiness or being back together can either end in A, we're back, but we're going to make some changes and stipulations. Or if you're extremely lucky, we're back together. Things are good. No extra restrictions, extra rules, extra things need to be put in place. Cool. Cheating has a face on it. It has a obvious elephant in the room of what the issue is and us trying to fix it or get through it. Someone passing, it doesn't. And that's where the issue lies when my wife made that statement that it's harder to get through a passing than it is through cheating. A passing affects us in many different ways of a significant other. Shout out to, I was pausing because I didn't know if I was going to call this person a name or not, but, we've had a guest on our show, and we've had close friends who have lost their mothers or fathers, and it has been very hard on them, understandably hard. And I think that they are doing an amazing, phenomenal job of living life day to day and pushing through despite the fact of a loss. I am extremely blessed. The only people I've lost as far as elderly wise is my grandfather on my mom's side and my grandmother on my dad's side. Other than that, aunts, uncles, grandmother on my mom's side, grandfather on my dad's side, still living. I have not dealt with any passing of any individual from a personal standpoint. So if there was a question to ask, hey, True, what is your, people actually interview, what's your strong point and your weak point? I guess, whatever weak point or anything you lack, I suck at helping someone cope with loss. Shout out to Patrick, man, extremely close friend of mine. He lost his grandmother. I got a chance to meet his grandmother a couple of times. She raised him, and he actually took care of her last months, which is extremely noble. Extremely noble. I mean, I remember one time he called me. Excuse me. I called him, and he called me back, and I forgot what I had to ask him or talk about or whatever. And he said, cool, you good? Because I think whatever I asked him was still lingering in the air of maybe I need to call you back after I try to, I guess I was trying to do something or whatever. And, excuse me. And he was like, look, he said, you good? I said, yeah, I should be all right. I should be all right. He said, all right, well, I'm about to put on these gloves to change my grandmother, get her situated for the night. And, she said, I'm not going to be around my phone. So I was like, I should be good. But hearing that is like, man, that's number one, that's love. That's love. But the sacrifices that's made to have to take care of someone where you're like, okay, I got to put on these gloves. I'm about to change them. You know, we all know what it's like to change a person, a baby or anything. Get her situated and stuff like that. It's like, man, that is. Like, wow, definitely commend him for that. Or anyone who takes care of anybody older, elderly, in need. It doesn't have to be elderly, but just people in need. I definitely commend you 10 times over for that. That's something that I have not have had to do besides take care of my daughter who was grown now. But yeah, man, I mean, whew. But so with loss, it hits people differently. There's a lot of people that I know that have had tremendous losses in their life. Some of them are perfectly fine now, no issues. Some of them have been changed forever and will never be the person that they were. Loss hits us differently in different ways. And how people deal and cope with it is different as well. I don't think that there's any judgment that should be upon anyone because of how they deal with it, because it doesn't look the way that you expect it to look to you, how you want it to look. Because I've seen that as well. Criticism of the way people have coped with losses, and it wasn't to the fashion of how people felt it should have been. And it has been criticism because of that. Don't ever let anybody criticize you or try to make you feel anyway about the way that you grieve someone. First and foremost, grievance looks different for everybody, and we all have to do, because people be quick to say, do what you got to do, you know, whatever it takes for you to get through it. You know what I'm saying? But whenever you are doing that and they don't feel it's being done in the way that they want it or feel it should be done, then they're quick to criticize you. Don't ever let that happen to you, man. Push through. Definitely push through. But death of a very close family member hits different for different people, how they react, how they change. My wife and she was very open about how hard this particular situation is and how it's affecting her. And I was able to see it. again, lucky. I hate that my voice is doing this. So, excuse me. A week ago, I had the flu. When I flew back in, I had the flu. Worst flight ever, dealing with the flu. I fought it. I've been fighting it. And I'm like 95, 96, 97, 98%. And they have just this little lingering, I don't know, that I'm fighting through. But my voice is back normal. But obviously, you hear me having to continuously clear my throat. So I do apologize for that. So my wife was very open about how she's taking this, how she's being affected by it. And I told her, like, look, it's going to be okay. Obviously, we're very strong in faith. So gave some words and faith in that. But just provided that comfort of, you know, it's going to be okay. We're going to work through this together, and we're going to do it. We're going to get through this. And that was very comforting to her, for me as well. And I know some people be like, why for you? Because it's comforting to me that my wife is open enough to allow me to be there and assist emotionally and whatever other way in this process. I have known a lot of people that have shut people out whenever they struggle with whatever, whether it be a loss of someone or a loss of a job or something like that. Shout out to Tim, because Tim doesn't like to tell anybody, not even his wife, that he does interviews. So that is something that he keeps very private and personal. But people tend to shut people out whenever they're struggling with something. So again, creating comfort, creating a safe space. I am very happy and very blessed that my wife is open to me assisting her through this tough time that's currently happening. And I'll keep you guys posted as much as I can. She gave me a list of dates that she wants to travel back and forth to Miami. It's the list from here until August. So from April's almost over, but May, June, July, August. So 4 months traveling, being gone for weeks at a time. And all I said was, okay, let's make it happen. Like, let's look into the dates. Let's get it done, get it situated. Obviously, my wife works from, not obviously, but it's funny how we all say these terms of things in general and just how literal they are. I mean, everybody always says, well, obviously. It isn't obvious that my wife works from home, because if you don't know, you don't know. My wife is blessed enough to be a college professor from home. So she does have a job that she does have to physically go in. But so because she's able to work from home, she, can travel, stay, still work, stuff like that. So, we're looking into just making accommodations for her to be with this person and have everything needed in order for her to be able to work from multiple locations, not just home. So all that to say, man, dealing with the transition of people, I can understand how it's harder than cheating. Cheating is hard, but like I said, you put a face on it and it's something that you can get over or leave. I would never suggest under any circumstances, although it has happened. So I guess I'll come full circle with this. The thankfulness of my wife being open to allow me to go through this with her, her being open, me being open, me being receptive, me being understanding, me being supportive, allows us to continue to stay connected, and her not shutting me out, which can cause spite, content, to where people separate. So I guess before I was saying it, I was about to say, I don't see how anyone can leave anyone for them struggling or going through the passing of someone. It seems kind of a sucky move to do that. But being a realist, there is an understanding of, look, this person, they just changed. They didn't let me in. Like, I don't know what's going on with them. They don't talk to me. So I can understand, like, the grievance in which causes people to change. And we're human. Goes back to connection. I don't have that connection with you anymore. Like I'm trying to do what I can. I can only do so much. And it's just not there. Like, I don't know. It's like I'm with a zombie. I'm with a different person. Because for a lot of people, it does change you. So I can understand the situation of, like, I don't know, I can't do this anymore. Like, we're going to have to separate, divorce, whatever. Now, on the outside looking in, a lot of people, oh my God, I can't believe that you left this person. They lost their parent and you just, but understanding that there's no connection there. This person has changed. I shut them out. I've done everything I can to try to get back to that space and I can't. They're just not there. It can cause problems and issues. Counseling. Anybody who's in a relationship, marriage, I always suggest counseling before any change of, or any thought of permanent, I ain't gonna say thought because you think about it, but any change of, you know, relationship status of wanting to separate or anything like that. Counseling is not a bad word. It's not a bad thing. It is something that you should definitely do. Even some couples. I mean, obviously, my wife and I do premarital counseling through our church. Premarital counseling, for sure. We've heard from people who just want to do dating counseling. They've been dating for a while. And it isn't technically premarital counseling, but I guess hypothetically it is because they're not married yet, but they want to figure some stuff out. Definitely supportive of it. Definitely not anything to be ashamed of. It's not something that you have to put out there publicly. It is something that you can be private about. Look, and the key to counseling, and I'll say this, because I had a person that came to me, talked to me about a few things, trying to assist and help. And I suggested counseling, and they just don't feel like, they don't know if the significant other would want to do it just because of image purposes and stuff like that. Look, being confidential is your business. Something that you can look into and do, and it helps. But excuse me, what I was trying to say was tell them is that they need it because it provides a safe space, which is important, because they talked to me about some stuff and I was like, why you don't tell them that? And they're like, well, I don't feel comfortable telling my wife that. I don't feel comfortable telling my husband that, which is terrifying, right? If you're listening, if you're in a good marriage or relationship, or if you're single and you're like, oh my God, like, that sounds terrifying. How am I living with someone? I've committed myself to this person, and I'm terrified to tell them what I think. Like, that is crazy. It happens all the time. It's a real reality. And counseling provides the opportunity to have a third party there where you can speak freely, speak in a manner that you can be comfortable with, and have someone mediate it. So just a thought, you know what I'm saying, for people, just putting that out there. But I think that wraps up the whole thing, what I was talking about. I know I spent more time than I thought I would have about it being harder to deal with any death or transition. And there's no death or anything like that. It just happened. It's just a transition, not the transition, but just a change of someone elderly in the family who are just dealing with health struggles, which can be very scary. Very, very scary. Keep yourself up, man. I'm laughing because obviously Tim has made it very clear that health-wise, I have gained some weight, which I actually kind of like, but that's neither here nor there because I was always a super serious person. I had this topic. I'm looking at this topic list. I haven't looked at this list this entire time. If you look at the time, we're almost at an hour, and you're like, hey, have you looked at your topic list? No, I've just been talking, just letting things flow. It's another one about my wife, but hey, if you're going to talk, I guess talk about what you know, talk about your life, talk about how you, talk about how you live your lifestyle and stuff. It just makes it so easy, and I guess that's why I've been able to flow with this. Is there a difference in, well, there is a difference. Let me back up. Grace and holding accountable. So, and this, I'm not going to, this isn't just my wife. This is just something overall in the marriage situation. I don't know. I kind of hate that I just talked about my marriage the whole time, but maybe, this is a good thing. All right, grace and holding accountable. So there's been some situations in the marriage where something was said to be done and it didn't happen. And I know for me, I'll just speak on my part. I just didn't say anything. It's not a big deal to me. I know that I just spoke about how busy we are. Crazy busy, ridiculously busy. So for me, I'm like, it's not a big deal. I just chalk it up to grace. We all need grace. We all need a little grace overall as human beings, period. Not just in marriage, not just being single, but just giving grace, giving understanding to what's going on with someone, the possibilities of what's happening, the possibilities of what we don't know. I think the biggest thing we struggle with as a society is that we're quick to judge off of very, very little information. Extremely minute information. The percentage of what we know about the people we think is less than 5%, but yet there's judgment to be made. I try not to participate in that. One thing I hate now is that I read comments. I used to never read comments. I thought reading comments was stupid at one point. And Tim and my wife read comments all the time, and they kind of explain why they do. And I was like, that kind of makes sense. And then now I find myself, I've run to the comment section before I even finish watching certain videos, and I hate it. So I'm trying to wean myself away from looking at comments. But anyway, so this particular situation or topic, so to speak, grace and being held accountable. Something was said. My wife had said that she was going to do something, and it didn't happen, which was totally fine. I mean, we're fine. Like, life's good. Life's great. There's other things that I cherish over some of the stuff that's being said. And it's been, like I said, this is a two-way thing. I know I'm using my wife as an example, but I've done it as well. And she was upset because I didn't remind her to do said thing. And I was like, it's fine. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, it's, and I'm laughing. We were at breakfast. We were at brunch. We was at breakfast. And she got, like, upset. Not mad, man, not upset. Baby, if you listen to this, I'm sorry. I love you. But she doesn't listen, which is great. She got mad. It was at brunch. And I'm like, oh my God, I didn't want to tell you because obviously I knew you was going to act like this, which is the worst thing to say to someone. but anyway, my thing was that, like, it's covered under grace, the grace of our marriage, the grace of understanding, the grace of, I know you're busy. I know you mean well. I know you want to do it, but we're just like, stuff just happens. And her thing was that she wanted me to say something because she wanted to be held accountable of said thing that she said that she was going to do. And I was like, it's not that big of a deal to me, but it is for her. And one thing about love is that when you really, truly love someone, like you really want to be able to come through for them, provide for them, be able to, and this doesn't change anything as far as the word. If it's myself or my wife that we say we're going to do something in it, if it doesn't happen, because this just so it's such a small, minute thing. But you just love someone so much that you want to be able to held accountable or just be able to provide what you said that you were going to do. So just a quick question, I guess, is there between grace and held accountable for the listeners, which is more important? Is it more just look, it's grace. Look, it doesn't matter. You're fine. Or should you hold someone accountable? And the reason why I ask this is because being held accountable helps with character, right? It helps with who you are, being able to come through with your word and what you said. Because if you're not being held accountable, can that cause issues in a marriage or a relationship or friendship? I don't want this to be based off. I mean, I'm using a marriage as an example, but it could be, you know, just basic life, basic friendship, stuff of that nature. You know, let me know your thoughts as far as that. So I'll give another story time about my wife and my mom. So back in October, right? Back in October, Israel started their first war against Gaza. So everybody, and I love you all. I love you all so much. So many people check on me. So many people text me, message me, and it does not go unheard. It does not touch my heart. It is not gone without thanks, for real, man. It is nothing more than to be known that you mean so much to someone that they're willing to reach out to you, check on you, see how you're doing. I have very close friends who tell me I should not go. I should not go back. And I thank them too, man. That's important to know that someone cares about you so much that they don't want to lose you. And they are suggesting that you don't go back. So war breaks out. The news is the news. We all know this. The news does what it has to do to get people to watch. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on and happens that isn't necessarily accurate and or real. The threat isn't as immense as the news makes it seem. So I go back to Israel. So my wife tells me, she says, you got to tell your mom. I'm like, okay. And I love my wife, man. She allows me to, she trusts in me as the man of the house, as a man of faith, to make the right decisions, to know when I should and shouldn't go back. And when I'm about to go, I ask her, and she said, what do you think? And I tell her, and she's like, all right. So far, all those times have been me thinking I should go. So she's like, you got to tell your mom. She knows how my mom is. She knows my mom is a big deal. My mom doesn't care for me to go work internationally, just in general. So she's like, you got to tell your mom. I'm like, all right, I'm going to tell her. So time passes. Talk to my mom, whatever. Never say anything. So it gets to the point to where, because I know my mom, I know she's going to trip, she's going to flip out, there's a war over there, why are you going, you shouldn't go, oh my God, I'm her oldest son, you know, I'm the one who is the only one who is still currently living in the state with her, close enough to drive and visit. My mom stays maybe 33 minute drive away. I think if I put in the GPS, they'll say 33 minutes, so go home fairly often. And so I'm the ace. I have another brother that lives in Texas, another brother that lives in Arizona. So I never tell, like, it comes to the point where I make a conscious decision, like, look, forget it. I'm not going to tell my mom. Like, I just can't deal with telling my mom and what comes with it after. Because I know what comes with it after, and it's going to be a lot, and it's just going to be so heavy on me that I just can't do it. So what do? I don't tell my mom, and I leave it up to my wife, but I don't tell my wife. Ooh, I know, right? Whoo, sucks. I am probably the person who is more so on the side of the statement that says, I'd rather ask for forgiveness or permission. I don't advise anyone to live that mantra. You should definitely ask for permission or talk out ahead of time. I mean, especially in a marriage or any situation where you might be putting anyone at risk from being blindsided. So I go to Israel.
My wife never asked me if I officially told my mom. I just kept telling my wife I was going to tell my mom. Never told her. So I've good guy, I built up trust in my relationship. So if I tell my wife I'm going to do something, she trusts and believes that I'm going to do it. Never did it. So my mom calls probably, it was a quick job. I wasn't going to be gone long. Excuse me. I was only going to be going about 14 days. So I said, man, I was going to finagle these 14 days. I can get in and out without having to tell my mom anything. And she won't know. I'll be back before she even knows it. So while I'm going, I'm going 14 days, probably day 10, home stretch. My mom calls to check on my wife. And when she does, my wife, not knowing any wiser, makes a mention about, because I think my mom asked where I was at and or something like that. And my wife tells her I'm in Israel. And my wife said, my mom, it's not, I'm laughing, but it's not necessarily, it wasn't funny at the time. My mom tells my wife, oh my God, my heart just fell in my stomach. And when my wife told me that, my heart fell in my stomach. And I was like, oh, that's like the worst feeling. Like, I know how scared and how heartbroken my mom is. And I think she said, like, my mom couldn't even, like, finish the conversation. She was like, I just got to get off the phone. And my wife was upset, rightfully so, very upset with me. I remember getting those barrage of text messages and messaging because, again, remember, my wife and I just don't verbally talk all the time. Our work schedules are just, when I'm in Israel, the work schedule was just kind of very hectic, and it's hard to tell when I'm on, off work. I usually go to sleep early and stuff like that. So I remember that whole night and situation, and I was like, that sucks. I suck big time. It definitely made me change the mantra of wanting to make sure that I want to do better and make sure that I take care of things. But this was my thought process at the time, was that, look, you're my wife. You're my significant other. We are one. I need you to just take this lick for me. I should have said something. For sure, 100%. I think we've all have been there for married couples where we just let our significant other just, look, you got to take this lick for me. Like, knowingly or unknowingly, I'll just deal with the consequences later. But this is on you. I'm counting on you to be able to just handle this for me. Well, she did. She did. She handled it. She did a great, phenomenal job. I thank her for that, but it was unknowingly, it was blindsiding her. It was unfair to her. I do apologize for it, but I'm asking you guys, is part of having that special someone is for them to cover for you, to take that lick. And we've all seen it in movies, TV shows all the time. When people say something and you expect the other person to just pick up the slack, right? Kevin Hart had the classic comedic line of, you know, if I look at you and I stare at you and I'm not blinking, help me. Help me. And that was that moment of me asking Dr. Lawless to help me just pick up the slack for it. And again, she did. But of course, I caught her on the back end, rightfully so, as it should have went. Which I was prepared for and I knew was coming because of my lack of proactive actions. But, just a little fun thought or question. Let me know your thoughts, man. I haven't even said this one time. Jones Hall Podcast on Instagram. Jones Hall Podcast on Facebook. At Jones Hall Pod on Twitter. If you want to email us, JonesHallPodcast@gmail.com. Is it your significant other's job to just take that lick for you, to have your back blindsidedly? I don't know if that's a word, but we're just going to roll with it for this scenario. Let me know your thoughts, man. Let me know your thoughts. I had on this list purpose for marriage, benefits of marriage. I'm going to save that because there's a special guest who doesn't believe that there's any benefits to marriage. And I feel there is. So I'm going to go head to head with that person. It'll be a treat. We're going to make it happen. We're definitely going to make that part happen. Look, I have a friend who was coming to me. And we talk all the time. Let me make it clear. So I ain't going to say coming to me. I've heard this a couple of times in general. And I've talked about this before, I think, a little bit on the podcast. I'm pausing because I'm trying to make sure that if they're listening, they won't listen. Or if their significant other listens, that they won't try to pick up the pieces or put it together. Trying to protect the innocent. That's something that we always like to do on Jones Hall Podcast. We are not TMZ. We try to protect people's relationship and life. I talked to Tim about this as well one time too. So during the pandemic, a lot of us were stuck in the house. Stuck in the house with our significant other. There's a lot of people who made it and made it through. There's a lot of people who did not make it through. There's a lot of people who realize, I really don't like this person that I'm with, whether I'm married to them or dating them, and people got divorced, people broke up. There's others who thrived, who was able to grow, get closer to each other, which was awesome and phenomenal. Both, let me be clear. Both are awesome and phenomenal because I tell people all the time, make sure you know who you're with, who you're talking to, the importance of it. If it doesn't work, break up. There are at least 4 or 5 people that I know who were married and broke up or are on the verge of separation that I felt should have never got married in the first place. I was like, look, said person, you guys are dating. And you are having issues. End it. They did not listen. Fine. You got to live your own life. Look, dating is important. If you're married, I feel like you're married. You're there. Figure it out. Get it done. Push through. Go to counseling. Try to make it work. I'm real big on marriage, staying married, and do what has to be done in order to be married. But if you're not married and you're in this dating phase or dating process and things aren't working out, end it. Take heed of the red flags. Okay, so during the pandemic, we were staying at home. Staying at home, couldn't go anywhere, couldn't do anything, yada, 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 whoop, doo, whoop, doo, whoop. One thing I noticed, my wife obviously worked from home, was that she would still, one thing I noticed and appreciated, let me be very clear on that, is that working from home, my wife still makes sure that she looks nice. There's a two-part to what I'm about to say, and I guess I'll put that disclaimer out there before I know people's thoughts and how they think. She would still make sure look good, she would put on something nice, not like a dress or anything extravagant, but just look nice, a nice little... As a woman, it doesn't take much. You can go shop at Rainbow or one of these places with $100, come out with 50 outfits that look great on you. You can get you a nice little sundress or something very cheap. It'd be fine. With guys, it's a little more ingredients to it before you get to that final project. But it is what it is. So she made sure she looked nice. She would put perfume on. Earrings, the whole nine. It wasn't just like, you know, I'm at home and just looking however, whatever. So I guess I took that for granted because she did it all the time and she still doesn't, but very appreciative of it. And then after a while, she got on me. She got on me and she made purchases for me for stuff that she would like to see me in. Simple stuff, nothing extravagant. Simple stuff to wear around the house and stuff like that. I used to wear gym shorts, raggedy t-shirts. That was my thing. And I think I had like 2 or 3 pair of gym shorts. So after a while, I would rotate them out and she would get tired of seeing them. And then she mentioned, said something about it. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I get that. I understand what you're saying. Look, you know, you're my wife. If there's one person in the world that I want to look good for, it is you. So I will do that. You know, I made sure I was able to, you know, figure it out, look nice around the house without having to put on like jeans or anything like that. But, you know, you can go to H&M or whatever, grab you some of those little cloth shorts and stuff like that. and you know, able to put together a nice little shirt, nice little outfit, all that stuff. Excuse me. Ah, God, I hate that. And stuff like that. And, you know, be able to look nice. Be able to look nice as the guy and stuff like that. I made sure that I checked with her. Like, yo, you like this? You like this? Okay, this look good. You know what I'm saying? Kind of shop together. Did a little online shopping stuff. Shipped to the house. Put it together. Boom, boom, boom. Wada, wada, wada. You know, it's good. So, despite the fact that my wife works from home, she still takes the effort to look nice. She still puts on perfume, earrings, you know, stuff like that. Does her hair. I don't care about makeup. Makeup isn't big to me. I think that there's natural beauty. I hope that everyone will pick someone they're in love with naturally, that they don't have to do all the extra stuff if worse comes to worse. So, yeah, very appreciative of it. And that's something that still goes on today. So one of the things that someone that I know had came to me about with their significant other was that they were upset because they don't see, and I guess I took this for granted. I know I took this for granted. They don't see that significant other look nice for them. They were saying that the only time they see this other person looks nice is whenever they're headed out or going out or something like that. So on a day-to-day basis, when they see their significant other, they look okay. More aggressive words were used, but I'm going to just keep it simple. They just look however, whatever. But whenever it's time for them to step out, and not stepping out together, just stepping out in general, going hang out with the friends, they see them get it together and they walk through the house, headed out like, dang, like you know, you ain't look like this for me. Like, what's going on? Like, what's really popping? So that bothered them. That bothered them. They felt like, you know, the only time I see you look nice, you know, I love you. I love the way you are, but I love when you look nice. It's just... you don't have to, and they're not saying that you have to get to the level of what you get to when you go out, but not to roll out of bed, look like that all day, every day, like put something, some type of slight effort into it. You know, that's something that was important to them. And that was something that they mentioned as far as, you know, with the issues that's going on in their relationship, that bothers them. And I told Tim, because my wife buys me, I have, you know, nice pajamas, polo, whatever, however. I'm not name dropping per se, but it helps to give an image whenever you say the name of pajamas and all. And I was talking to Tim about that. I said, man, you should try to look nice for your wife. Like, he said, man, I work from home. I ain't going away. I ain't doing that. I said, still, I think, you know, she would appreciate it if you do it. Now, his wife has never said anything, and I don't think she really cares. But I was like, look, just, you know, a little effort. So they can go a long way. Like, you'll be surprised at how much your significant other notices that they just don't say or don't speak on. Again, going back to comfort, creating a safe space, you would hope that they would speak on it and say something. But don't take for granted looking nice for your significant other around the house or just being eye candy for that person. Because, of course, we look nice going out on dates. But if you're busy, you got kids, you're working, you don't go out on dates that often. We all need time to be able to hang out with the friends, the guys, or whatever. So, of course, you're going to look nice then. You know, you're going to be out. I take that very big because I feel like it's a representation of each other. So I try to make sure I look nice all the time whenever I'm stepping out. Because whether I am going out or not, number one, brand, MKTP sneakers, got to look nice for that. And a representation, like, ain't nobody about to catch, oh, I saw your husband out and he looked a mess. That ain't happening. But, you know, just a little tip or a tidbit, you know, if you can, man, look good for your significant other around the house every now and then, you know what I'm saying? Just put on something, do something simple. I'm not saying, you know, put on a whole jeans button up, but, you know, something that you can put on that's kind of lax and comfortable that looks nice. You know, if you wear cologne for a guy, some cologne, you know, brush your hair. Stuff like that. It goes a long way, man. It goes a long way. And I've heard that from a couple of people. I mean, this other person just been very vocal about it. And they harped on it for a while. So I knew that it bothered them a lot. But just some small stuff that I hear here and there that can help people out, man. That's able to, excuse me, stuff that helps people out in a way that if you're not in a relationship where this person feels comfortable with you, they're not going to say it. So hopes that, God, my voice is, I'm sorry. And with hopes that, you know, you hear this and like, oh, you know what? I can do that. That's simple. Why not? Shout out to this particular person. I don't want to call their name, but I remember they said that they wear hats a lot, and they was like, I wear hats when I'm at the house. Like, you know, they make sure that they're always, you know, on point, or they just do it in general. But yeah, so don't take for granted looking good for your significant other, even if it's just around the house. If y'all have been now on the flip side of that, because I remember I mentioned this in the beginning, I understand, and you should be able to be comfortable. Comfortable doesn't have to mean ugly. I know that's a harsh term, but for lack of better judgment, lack of better words at the moment, I'm going to just use ugly. I think people associate being comfortable with being ugly. One thing I harp on with my daughter is making sure that when she step out, if she feels like if it isn't anything big, that she doesn't have to look decent. And I'm like, nah, that ain't happening. Like, if you go out in anything in public, now thank God she doesn't wear bonnets or rollers or anything like that in public. But if you're stepping out in public, I think you should at least look somewhat decent. You know, even if you just run into Walmart, Target, whatever, just look decent. Don't look a mess. It is what it is. I'm just standing on what I feel and what I think. Because I know a lot of people feel like, I ain't doing all that. Fine. Cool. If that's how you feel, great. If you're single, that might be why. If you're with someone, a significant other, you'll be surprised to know how they really think or feel about that. And some people really don't care, which is fine. But I'm being the voice for people that want to say something, that don't feel they're comfortable to say something, or for people that just want to step it up a little bit. You know what? That doesn't sound like a tall order to ask, true. I think I could do that. And I mean, for your significant other, I mean, if there's anybody that you would want to look good for, because I can understand the thought process or concept of, look, you be looking good whenever you're going out with your friends or going out by yourself. Like, what's really going on? Because when it's time for you to be looking good for me, I ain't getting this. That's a valid argument. I'm just saying, you know, if you put it on whenever you was trying to get them, continue to have that same energy. Continue to, do what you can, man. If you're a guy, man. Speaking to the men, man, as a man, I feel like we should get ourselves together. Shout out to Smooth, man. One thing Smooth taught me a long time ago, probably in 2011, 2012, he said, man, get you some good underwear. Because I think I was wearing Hanes or something. We worked together. So, you know, when you bend over as a guy, you just, you know, your shirt rises, you can see your underwear. And he told me, he said, man, get you some Polo or something, dog. It's not that expensive. You make good money. Get you some nice underwear. Ever since then, never look back. Goes a long way. There's a difference in quality. There's a difference in how long it lasts. It looks better. It feels better. Look, if you're a guy, don't, you know, get rid of the Hanes. Get rid of the Fruit of the Loom. Get you something nice, man. Get you some Calvin Klein. Get you some Polo. Something like that. My wife has bought me some. Ladies, if you want to buy some for your man, do that. Dillard's usually has a lot of sales. You can buy them on sale. You don't have to pay regular price. Guys, step it up. Guys, get you some nice socks, man. Don't be having all these mishmash socks with all these holes in it. It's just small things that you can just take care of. Keep yourself up. Guys, get you some nice, if you wear muscle shirts. I don't wear muscle shirts. It's not my thing, but if you do, look, if your muscle shirts are dingy and dirty, man, get rid of them. Get you some nice ones if you want. You can get Lacoste, stuff like that. You know, I'm okay with, you know, cheap undershirts and stuff. If you're just covering them up. But if they start to get dingy and look like a mess, man, get rid of them, man. You know, just try to keep those are small things that you can do. Keep yourself up, keep yourself together, better quality, and you feel better too, man. If you can say what you want, even Tim himself has spoke about, and he's going to speak about how his experience was in the Gucci store. Whenever he talks about the next podcast. But look, having nice stuff goes a long way. Goes a long way mentally, goes a long way physically. You know, the women notice it. It makes a difference. Take care of yourself. You know what I'm saying? Get manicures, pedicures, stuff like that. You know, keep all that up, man. Keep yourself together. So that's just my little rant for the men to do better, be better. You know, I think we put a lot of pressure on women, and us as men ourselves need to do better and be better and stay in that realm. And a lot of guys do, man. A lot of guys do. And I commend you on that. But, you know, small little things, underwear, socks, keep yourself up, keep those nice, neat, get holes in them and start to rip. Let them go. It's okay. Let them go. excuse me. And same thing with looking good around the house, man. You don't have to do it all the time, but every now and then, you know, throw something on decent for your significant other. Throw something on where they can appreciate it, let you, because it's a two-parter. Number one, It lets you know that you appreciate them. You want them to kind of, you know, have something nice to look at, and you appreciate yourself as well. So that's definitely something that can be done. I have went longer than I thought I was going to go. I was super nervous about doing this. Tim been wanting me to do this. I've done it. I could still go on more, but I'm going to stop it here. So the science of marriage, what I was going to read, I won't even do it because I'm looking at it now. It is like a 20, 30 minute read. No, it's not that long, but maybe 10, 12 minutes. But my voice, as you can tell, I'm coughing a lot more and stuff like that. So I'm not at home. If I was at home, I would have had hot tea. Jones Hall Podcast on Instagram, at Jones Hall Pod on Twitter. Jones Hall Podcast on Facebook. It started off rocky, in my opinion. Started off a little rocky, trying to figure it out, trying to get my footing. But we made it. We made it here. We made it to a full, complete solo episode that I am happy about, that I'm proud of. I hope that Tim is happy with it. I hope he is proud of it as well. I'll be lying if I didn't say that as Tim, as my co-host, that I don't want to make him proud and feel good about the product we're putting out, even if he isn't able to be here for it. You know, everybody always talks this macho, I don't care what anybody thinks or feels, but it's important to me, man. It is important, you know, that doing this together with Tim, that he is hopefully proud of this particular episode and the product that has been put out. Hopefully I was cohesive and everything went together. Majority of it was about me. Oh, I'll tell you what. I'm going to do this last thing. Let me pull it up. Okay. I've been working on this for a while. It has been something that has been understood for a while that I was going to possibly have to do this solo episode. And for the record, I have done solo episodes before. When I spoke about with the podcast that I were going to do. So I have episodes of all type of stuff. Sneaker videos, podcast episodes by myself, visual and audio. I'm almost like Tupac. Like if anything ever happened to me, God forbid, and someone went through my hard drives of just material, I have a lot of stuff you could put out. I've recorded a lot of stuff solo. I've pictures, all type of stuff that I have never put out. But anyway. So I was doing, research and I researched everything from the smallest, minute, simplest thing to the most complex. And one of the things was like, you should get people to get to know you. Here's some questions you should answer. So, a lot of people don't know a whole lot about me in a sense. Majority, over 50% of people that listen to this are because of Tim. Tim has been paramount and he has been very instrumental in the audience that we have for this podcast. I acknowledge that if beef ever comes between us, like Kendrick and Drake, which at the moment I'm Team Drake and Tim is Team Kendrick, I will go on record of keeping it real and saying that the survival of this podcast has been first and foremost by you, the listeners, especially if you made it this far, by rocking with me on the solo episode. But majority of people that listen is because of Tim. Hands down, 100%. If I was to do a solo episode podcast, the struggle for me would be getting an audience because there's not a lot of people that would listen in the beginning until I would try to, I guess, figure out a way to get it. So I'm going to answer these questions. I'm going to try to answer them quick to get to know me. Excuse me. All right. So Riverside, which is the app we use to record our podcast. These were the questions. So one, what do people misunderstand about you most? Is that I like to have fun and play. Everybody thinks I'm a super serious person. And out of all my friends, I'm probably the biggest one who likes to play and joke. Two, what is your favorite childhood memory? I would say just spending time with my family, my cousins and stuff. We had a really big family and every weekend we would travel to Thibodeau grandmother's house and playing with my cousins. I always thought that we would always be that close and hang with each other. But now that we're older, I mean, I got a house and they've never even been there and it's not their fault. It's just life be lifing. But I had some of the great memories, growing up in the neighborhood, being outside and, hanging with my cousins.
How did you meet your spouse or significant other? I met my wife at Singular. I'm thinking just to make sure. But yeah, Singular. We both were working at the Singular call center at the time. Singular call center in Baton Rouge, Louisiana was the only 24-hour call center in the world. What's your biggest failure and what did you learn from that experience? The first thing that comes to mind is I've been divorced before. And I just consider it a failure because my parents, you know, been married forever. I never thought in my life I would get divorced. So even when I got married my first time, I was like, you know, this is it forever. And it didn't work out and I got divorced. And I learned to be a better man overall from that experience. If you could be remembered for one thing, what would it be? For me, it would be just to push the envelope of getting people to think differently, more positive, in a better manner. Number six, what's the best compliment you've ever gotten? Sneakers. All day, every day. Sneakers. The latest one would be when I went to Arizona. I hang out with Greg, George, Andy, Rico, James, Tim. And out of all of us, I was complimented on my sneakers, the sneakers that I wore. And it wasn't necessarily like, oh my God, they look good and stuff. But the fact that they talked about it. Again, for me, if you talk about it, that's good enough. But they talked about the sneakers that I wore that day. So yeah. What's an insult you've received that you're proud of? I guess it goes back to question one about me being goofy or playing. And stuff like that. I like to have fun. I like to joke. I like to clown. And people think that I'm just super serious all the time. Number eight, how would your parents describe what you do? They wouldn't. My parents ask me all the time, what do I do as far as work in Israel? And I've sent pictures and video and they have no idea. Number nine, what is a funny story your family tells about you that you like to share? Oh my God. I have a funny story. I'll just share it. So my dad has a videotape when I was a baby. He put on an adult diaper and it wasn't like a diaper. He made one out of the sheet. He has this on videotape and it's just us playing around. You know what I'm saying? My dad act like he's a kid and he's talking to me. My dad used to show that all the time and I'm still embarrassed by it, but it is what it is. Number 10, what is your favorite holiday movie and what does that say about you? Holiday movie for me would be Saw. Every Halloween month, even though I don't necessarily celebrate Halloween, I always watch Saw. What does that say about me? I don't know. You tell me if you're listening. What has been your favorite job you've held? Definitely Foot Locker. That was like my first job out of high school and the college. It was the coolest job to have at the time. I worked at the mall. It was Foot Action before Foot Locker. Foot Action. And yeah, that was the coolest job. Being in those stripes and people on campus knowing that you work at a sneaker store was everything. 12, what has been your least favorite job to date? I worked at Conn's. Tim and I worked at Conn's together. This is a funny. Tim and I have done a lot together, come to think about it. We worked at Conn's. We went to training. Training was in Lafayette, Louisiana. So Baton Rouge, Lafayette is about an hour away. Excuse me. Tim and I skipped out on our training somehow, but we still got credit for our training. And we went back. I couldn't figure out how to work the computer. So the day I worked there, I had to ask like a person that I was trying to get a sale and I couldn't work the computer. So I had to ask somebody else to do it for me. And it sucked. Like you got to ask somebody else how to work the computer for a sale that they're not getting for you. And I quit. That's the fastest, quickest job I quit. My least favorite job that I've held. Number 13, if you can go back and give your 18-year-old self one piece of advice, what would it be? Continue to keep pushing. At 18, I ran and embarked across some great things sneaker-wise with MKTP, which is why I'm shooting a documentary that I think would revolutionize and change a lot, and we just stopped. So that would be the key thing. I'll just leave it there. I'm trying to be quick with these. I got two more left. 14, tell me about the three most influential people in your life and how they impacted you. I obviously didn't read over these questions ahead of time, so I didn't know that was there. First and foremost, I guess would be my dad. Having a present dad is so important and game changing. I love my dad. He showed me so much. He still continues to show me so much. My wife, I have grown so much as a human being because of my wife. I remember I was at church in the media department and somebody asked me
Because people talk to me about a lot of stuff and just my insight has changed. And they say, how did you get to this? And I say, my wife, 100%. Like, being married to a woman of the caliber of what she is has helped me grow and see things differently, and so much. And I guess third would be, I'm going to just say my daughter. I'm going to re-answer this with non-family people, because I guess all these are cop-out answers in a sense, but they're all true. Becoming a father changes you, especially to a little girl. I'll just leave it at that. Number 15, what does your morning routine look like? I wake up early, and I'm laughing because most people be like, I wake up and I brush my teeth and wash my face. All right, so we have a bathroom in our room in the house. So I don't want to wake my wife, so I don't wake up and brush my teeth and wash my face immediately. I always go to my computer, and I go in the office. I usually turn on my computer, check emails. I turn on the TV to some type of sports show or news. I try to plan out my day. What's the day going to be like? And I try to make the decision of what I'm going to do. Because if I get my mind going of what I'm going to do for that day, then that usually gets it going. After a little while, when my wife wakes up and stuff, I usually go back in there and brush my teeth and wash my face kind of along with her. She clowns me for being up for so long without brushing my teeth and washing my face. But that's a rough estimate of what my morning routine looks like. I'm done, y'all. I can't believe I talked this long. If you made it this far, thank you so much. Jones Hall Podcast on Instagram, at Jones Hall Pod on Twitter, Jones Hall Podcast, Facebook, Jones Hall Podcast, @gmail.com. I'm stopping. That's all I got for y'all, man. Peace.